In that verse number one, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Yes. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Amen. Let's drop down toward the end of this passage to verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for this time with the congregation. Thank you, Lord, for all that have pressed their way out today. Some, God's hurting in their bodies, sick. Some are tired. Some are depressed. Some are discouraged. But God, they had strength enough. They had faith enough to come and assemble here one more time. And so we thank you for that push, my God, that they had in their life. And so now as we go into your word, we ask for clear thoughts and clear understanding, that I would rightly divide your word and that I would rightly apply your word. Touch the ears, touch the hearts of those under the sound of my voice, so that after the teaching and the preaching of your word, we will all become doers of your word. This I ask in the name of Jesus, and the people of God will say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, people of God. You may be seated. Thank God again so much for coming. Again, to all of our visitors, thank you so much for spending time with us today here at Fairview. Amen. Now, these verses that we shared with you here today, I want to talk to you from this thought, contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. You would see that phrase perhaps in verse 3, where he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So I want to talk today, amen, as I said, the thought, contend for the faith. Contend meaning to strive or even to fight against difficulties. That is what contend mean. I think we can understand that perhaps when we think of the boxing world and we hear the phrase a contender, a suitable contender. for fighting against the champion. And also faith in this passage, amen, in this context here, means the truth of the Word of God. This is what we should be striving for, or fighting for, standing for, is the truth of the Word of God. Amen. The people of God, we must stand without compromise for the inspiration, the inerrancy, the authority, and the sufficiency of God's holy word. Amen. Every born-again believer living in this world is not without defense against Satan.
Amen.
Is not without instructions as to how to live in this world. Amen. I said on Friday night, I believe it was in the revival, that some years ago, a person made a whole lot of money with that WWJD.
Yes, yes.
Made a whole lot of money.
Yes.
People were buying it for decoration. They really wasn't buying it to try to emulate Christ. They were buying it because it was popular.
That's right. Amen.
And so they start putting it on everything, on umbrellas, pocketbooks,
cars,
everything. Yeah. Everybody was flaunting WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, I said on Friday night, and I think it's still true, that if we would pick up the Word of God and read it, we would know.
Amen.
Would be no question.
Amen.
About what Jesus would do.
Yeah.
Because the Bible lets us know that he faced everything that we face.
Yes. Man.
That he was a man that was subject to temptations,
yes,
just as we were. But because his reliance was on God,
thank you.
Amen. Come on,
he was able to stand and to endure.
Yes. That's right. That's
Christ was and is our example of victorious living. Yes, he was.
Yes,
yes, he is. Yes. Amen. So we must stand without compromise for the Word of God. Well, 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told him, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, from Genesis to Revelation, those words were inspired by God. There were over 40 different writers, amen, from Genesis to Revelation, 40 different writers, many dispensations of time, but God inspired each one to write what they wrote.
Yes.
That's right.
It was not left up to the individual to just write something. Amen. I think Peter talks about the Word of God being of no private interpretation, that the prophecies of old were given as holy men were moved by God.
Yes.
Amen. In other words, man didn't just write this. We're in trouble now because, and I'm going to say this in a nice way, because of translations.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to be careful. Some translations are good, some will lead you away from the Word of God.
Amen.
So we're told you Satan is subtle.
Yeah.
Amen. He will use any means possible,
yeah,
to deceive you. So you have to be careful, beloved, even when you get translation, because you want to understand it. That's good. But I'm just saying be careful,
yeah,
because man is doing these translations.
Yeah.
The scripture that we have, amen, was inspired by God. Paul told Timothy, amen, it was profitable, or it was good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You want to be right? Study God's word. Apply God's word. Amen. Doing that, you will be right. I'm talking about according to what the Lord says. I know that, man, we're going to nitpick and we're going to try to find all of these flaws, but we're talking about the eyes of God. Amen. If you would remember, I think toward the last one or two verses I read, it says that he may present you faultless.
Yes.
Now, how are we going to get there without God? Not within ourselves, but God is able to do it. He says, present you faultless. And we always find in fault with each other.
Amen.
Amen. But the word says God is going to present you faultless. Now don't ask me how you're going to do it. I'm just going to say he's God.
Amen.
He sees differently than you and I. Amen. Now, as we look at this letter here, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, many seem to suggest that Jude was displaying an air of humility. Because if this is the James that is a half-brother of Jesus, Jude could have said otherwise. But he said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a servant of my brother. And how many remember, amen, there was one time that Jesus' brothers didn't really believe he was Messiah.
Amen.
We're talking about change in Sunday school. God is able to change.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It's nothing too hard for the Lord. We only limit him when we doubt.
That's right.
When we doubt, when we don't put it in his hand, this is when God can't do anything in our life. When he won't put anything, do anything in our life. We must willingly surrender to him. Amen. Now, this letter, as we said, Jude wrote here, servant of Jesus Christ, brother James, to them that are sanctified by God and preserved and called. Amen. Sanctified, preserved, and called. These are some great words to use, amen, in addressing people. Amen. Do you feel like you've been preserved? Do you feel like you've been sanctified? Do you feel like you've been called? Amen. He says, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. In other words, amen, a lot of mercy, a lot of peace, and a lot of love. Let it be multiplied, amen, many times over. Glory to God. And when the Lord multiplies something, you can expect an abundance. I believe we shared with you last week the illustration of the two fish and the five loaves of bread. I believe it was last week. Anyway, Jesus took two fish, five loaves of bread, fed over 5,000, had 12 baskets of leftovers. When the Lord multiplies something, glory to God. Those of you that can't sleep because of trouble in your life, you need to surrender to the Lord. He'll give you peace.
Amen.
He'll give you a whole lot of it.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Those that are having, amen, situations in life, turn them over to Christ. He's got a lot of love. He's got a lot of peace. He's got a lot of mercy. He has it in abundance. Can you tell the Lord thank you?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Now, this letter is a warning, or was a warning to them, and is a warning to us today of being a nominal Christian. Nominal Christian. N-O-M-I-N-A-L. Nominal. What does that mean? That means someone that is just professing. Someone that is just saying. This is a letter to warn them against just saying you a Christian.
Amen.
And I've tried to get this over many times because I can say I'm an astronaut.
Amen.
If we talk about saying, But I don't even know how to get in a space suit. Know nothing about the pounds within a space vehicle. So this is a letter warning the people against just saying you a Christian.
Yes.
Amen. And this sermon is a warning that needs to be repeated over and over and over again. Glory to God. Well, Jesus puts it this way in Mark 7:6. He answered and said unto them, well hath the science prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips. That's what Jesus says. But their heart is far from me. The heart is not even close. It's just lips. And Jesus knows that. He knew it then. Thank you, Jesus. And he knows it now. Amen. He said they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And Jesus goes on down, and we're going to read a couple more verses, verse 7 and verse 8, to kind of get an understanding of what was taking place and what takes place today.
Yes.
Jesus says, how be it in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See, this is what we have today. We have a twisting of the word of God until it is what man says. This is why we have so much corruption in the church, why we have so much immorality in the church. And I told you before, you know, we all jumped up and we got, you know, all excited about same-sex marriage, but we've been had immorality in the church long before then.
Long.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, I'll come right down your pew.
Yeah.
We've been had fornication and adultery in the church.
Yes.
That is sexual immorality.
Yes.
And it didn't just come about when same-sex marriage became legal.
That's right. Amen.
Honoring him with their lips, but their heart was on his sweetheart. That's what Jesus said. And so people get in place. And then we have this, what do they call it? This super grace? That you're saved by grace, which is true. But then when they say, ain't nothing you can do to be lost, this chapter debates that.
Mm-hmm.
You read the rest of this chapter. He says, after they delivered the people out of Egypt, he destroyed them that didn't believe. He brought them out of Egypt. There's a principle there.
Amen.
God can do what he want to do. He brought them all out of Egypt. But when they start disbelieving him, he allows so many of them to die and not see the promised land.
Amen.
God says they honor me with their lips, teaching the doctrines of men as commandments. Look at verse 8 in Mark 7. He says, for laying aside the commandment of God, putting God's word aside, ye hold the tradition of men. You know, they was having a problem right then of washing their hands before they eat. This is what taking place right here where Jesus had to talk about this. And Jesus, you know, they were saying, you know, why are they eating, don't wash their hands? They were all upset. Jesus had to let them know it's something a whole lot worse than eating with dirty hands. But it says here, verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. Jesus was saying, you hold up what man say, and you forget all about my word.
Yes.
Amen.
And that still exists today.
Yes.
Amen. That is why anything that we do, we should be cognizant enough to measure it by God's word.
Amen.
Hmm? But what is God's word saying about this?
That's right.
So now, here's what Jude is saying. Jude is warning them of being a Christian in word only. But he had intended, amen, to write unto them and just talk about their salvation. But he says, I gave all diligence, verse 3, to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend for God's word which was once in the beginning delivered to the saints. Amen. It appears that God's word was being changed even at this writing. And so Jude says, you've got to contend for the faith. You've got to fight amen, for the word of God, because his word is not going to change. Amen. I believe Psalm 119 and 89, I believe it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I was meditating on that. I said, they can change all they want down here.
Amen.
It's settled already up there. God got the record.
Thank you, Lord.
He knows what he said.
Yes.
And it's no need of me or you or anybody else trying to debate God's word. It's settled in heaven.
Yes.
The record is in heaven and we can't get there.
Yes.
Amen.
Not now.
Amen.
Hmm? Glory to God. So, amen. Jude said, I was going to write to you about salvation, but I got to tell you, you got a fight on your hand.
Yes, sir.
Because God's word is being twisted. God's word is being changed. So I'm just going to write to you and encourage you to earnestly, glory to God, tell people to earnestly contend for the faith. Glory to God. Prayer meeting time. Bible teaching time, Sunday school time. These are times, beloved, that we need to be contending for the faith.
Amen.
Amen.
For the word of God. And I know that you can study at home. I understand that. But I also understand principle again of the word of God.
Yes.
How can they hear without a preacher? There's a certain time that the preacher is going to have to speak in your life. And you're going to have to hear what he's saying, because that's God's way. Not my way, it's in the word.
Amen.
How can he hear without a preacher? Then the Lord says, now how can he preach except he be sent? So the Lord is not turning loose just anybody.
No.
Sometimes some just go. But they were not sent by God. God said they can't preach unless I send them.
Amen.
Glory to God, that's his word. Hallelujah. It may sound a little boastful because, as I said in Sunday school, people don't want to hear a man.
Yes, yes.
He can't tell me what to do. You know, that's going to be your downfall.
Mm. Amen.
Some of you, that's going to be your downfall. Right? He can't tell me what to do. I know this and I know what the enemy is doing. That's good for you.
Yes, yes.
So you're going to debate with the Lord about what you know.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
God sent me here to try to help you.
Amen.
To try to help you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. So Jude says, you should earnestly contend for the faith. Verse 4, he says, for there are some certain men that have crept in.
Yes, mm-hmm.
They slipped in.
Thank you.
Unaware, unnoticed. They slipped in. And see, ungodly men turning the grace of God, here we go, into lasciviousness. What do you mean by that, Jude? You mean that you're saying, once again, this super grace. Because we're saved by grace, ain't nothing you can do to be lost. Because it's God's grace. It ain't about what you do. I'm talking about, that's what some teach. And see, I listened to a man some time ago. I listened to him on the radio, and he had been teaching that. And he said a man was coming to his church, and then the man quit coming and said he heard the man was shacking up with somebody and just doing all kinds of things. And so he said he went to visit the man. So he went visiting, sat down and got to talking, to, you know, asked him about where he'd been and everything. He said, well, I've been here. I've been home. So I've, you know, been out doing my business and everything. And he asked him, said, well, brother, don't you know, shacking up? And he said, well, so you said it wasn't nothing I could do to be saved. You told me it was God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
See, we don't know how people are processing this. That's why we have to be careful just saying, yeah, ain't nothing you can do. You got to live right.
Yeah.
Amen.
To the best of your ability.
Amen.
Cohabitating without, amen, the benefit of marriage is wrong. Slipping around, fornicating, adultery, wrong. Y'all don't want to hear that kind of talk. Because that man come down every week talking about that. Well, quit doing it. Then the Lord won't put it in my spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God won't put it in my spirit. You ain't doing it, somebody doing it. How can he preach except to be sin?
That's right.
Preachers make people mad.
That's right.
That's the cross. That's the cross. But verse 4, let me go on. If I really want us to get this, we got to contend for the faith.
Amen.
Amen. The word of God is what we got to stand for. And we got to know the word of God.
Yes.
The scripture admonishes us to study to show yourself approved unto God.
Yes.
A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Now, I know preachers, we dwell on that and we should study. But everybody should study.
Yes.
To the best of your ability, God may not open up your understanding like he do the preacher. But he will give you some understanding.
Yes, he will.
He will let you know some things are wrong even before the pastor have to say they're wrong.
Right.
If we're studying the word of God, surrendering ourselves to God, God will let you know some things are wrong.
Yes.
Amen.
And if you have a desire to change it, he'll help you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He won't leave you to make that change by yourself.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Jude says here, there are some that crept in unaware, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Savior. Now, here's what I want us to look at, and then we will try to move on. When we talk about the principles of people, you know, say, once saved, always saved. Is that what Scripture really says? Look at verse 5. I shared it a moment ago, but let's read it again. Our therefore, Jude says, put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, he brought all that multitude from under bondage out of Egypt, but they got in the wilderness and they began to complain and murmur. And it continued to the extent that the Lord said, going to take you 40 years to get through here.
Mm.
And many of you are going to die out before you get there.
Mm.
There's a principle there, people of God.
Mm.
Hallelujah. That once we claim that we're saved, then we have to continue seeking the Lord.
Yes.
I know there are some that don't teach that and some will debate that. But this is why, once again, we have such weak people. Because we have told them they're saved and it ain't nothing they can do to be lost. That's why we're weak. That's why we still do ungodly things. Because we believe the word of man and not what God says.
Amen.
Jude says, contend for the faith. He says, God saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Afterward, destroyed them that believed not. Listen, God is God. Look at verse 6. All of these verses we could go down, but look at verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the day of judgment. There were angels that rebelled with Lucifer.
Yes.
Amen.
God said, you got to get at him up here.
Yes.
Lucifer's going and y'all going with him.
Yes.
That's right. Huh? God has a principle, people of God. Amen. He's not going to break his principle. But then he goes on and on and on. I'm not going to read all of those verses. But I want to just encourage you, amen, to contend for the faith.
Yes.
Now, in this life, we have contenders and we have pretenders.
Come on.
Pretender is the nominal Christian, the one that is just professing Christ. Jesus talked about it, and we have to talk about it today. If people want change in their life, you got to do more than just, amen, talk about being a Christian. You got to do more than just proclaim yourself a Christian. In our Sunday school lesson, in the lesson that we've studied previously, it shows us that when Christ comes in your life, things change.
Amen.
Now, I don't see why we can't understand that.
Yes, yes.
If the scripture points that out, why do we say, well, I'm changed and still smoking, drinking, gambling, doing all of those ungodly things and say, I done changed.
Yes.
You have? Have you really?
Have
you really changed? Huh? You still don't read God's word. You still don't pray, but you changed. Have you changed? It's don't say, go, I know it's tight, but it's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hmm? I make you happy sometimes, and then sometimes I make you angry. But I love you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
My dad used to make me angry when he disciplined me. And I'd be so angry, I couldn't do nothing but buckle on and do what he said.
Right.
Hmm? Glory to God. And I'm telling you this out of love.
Amen.
See, we can't continue to hide behind names because we don't want to be this and we don't want to be that. You know, we can do this over here. What does the Bible say about people that say they are born again? What does the Bible say about people that say they are Christians? Did it section it off to associations or denominations or anything like that? Do we find that in Scripture? The reason why we're over here, so we don't have to do that. We can shack over here. Because the preacher running around.
Amen.
Well, he's in trouble
Amen.
Too.
Amen.
God's mercy is just being bestowed upon him, giving him time to change it. If he don't change it, then he hell bound too.
That's right.
Oh, have mercy. I thought Amen. I was going to be shouting today.
Yes.
I think I shouted enough to
Thank you, Lord.
But we have contenders and we have pretenders. Now you need to decide which are you.
Yes.
Amen.
Which are you? I'm not here to call you out. I'm just here to talk about God's word. Now you honestly evaluate yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Are you a contender? Or are you a pretender? Amen. The word says here, verse 20, that we are to build up ourselves. See, this is something that we can do. We can build up ourselves. Glory to God. How are you going to build up yourself? Now, this is not talking about the physical man. This is not talking about taking vitamins and supplements and all of this and going to the gym working out. This ain't this kind of build up. This build up right here is spiritual.
Amen.
This build up right here comes from time spent with God. This build up, my God, this build up right here, amen, is holy and humble submission to God.
Amen.
This is how you build yourself. He said, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
My God, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we want to shy around it, but what does God's word say about the Holy Ghost? Huh? Amen. He lets us know that it is available to us. Or we can say what we don't do over here and over there. But what does God's word say about it? Building up yourselves. Spend time with God. Fasting, praying, reading God's word. Meditating on God's word, listening to good Bible teaching, listening to good gospel songs on the radio. Turn some of that other stuff you got where, amen, got your mind so filthy and rotten
amen.
Now, glory to God, that you can't even think on the Lord. Cut that mess off and put some gospel music on there. Put something on that talking about the blood. Hallelujah. Put something on your radio that's talking about the blood that Jesus shed. That he died.
Yes,
that you could have the right to the tree of life. Some of that other stuff ain't telling you nothing that's no good. It's continuing to poison your system.
Amen.
Y'all don't have to believe me.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That's why you're upset now.
Thank you.
Because I'm talking about it.
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead.
I still remember. Glory to God. When my pastor used to teach on paying tithe, it didn't bother me one bit. I could look around, some folk would be about to boil over. Didn't bother me one bit because I'm paying my money.
That's right.
You talk about forgiving, didn't bother me because I learned how to forgive people. I see other folks sitting around getting big and bigger. But it didn't bother me because I learned walking with God. He said, if you don't forgive your brother and sister, I'm not going to forgive you. Hello? Amen. How plain is that?
Amen.
Amen.
It's all right. Truth.
Y'all ain't going to appreciate me after this morning.
That's
all right. We'll be past appreciation morning. I got the wrong message for you. Messing up. Well, listen. It's a box back there in my study. And if it's back there after service, I'm taking it home.
Thank you, God.
I know I got one box.
Thank you, God.
I didn't lock my door, but I'm trusting it to be back there. So I got one thing, Pastor Appreciation.
Come on.
We got one box, baby.
Can't preach.
You're doing it.
He said, build yourself up. You got to do some things to build up yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
And this ungodly activity, ungodly association with all kinds of people, being out in all different kind of places, this is not building up yourself in the Holy Ghost. It is further contaminating you. But he says, contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking, amen, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. And it goes on, amen, our position is to have compassion and to do what we can, even pulling others out of fire. Verses 22 and 23, this is what I'm doing. Huh? It says, pull them out of the fire. My God, that's what I'm trying to do, is to pull you out of the fire.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
That's what he told.
Thank you, Lord.
Is to have compassion on some. Pulling them out of the fire. Glory be to God. Satan got a hold on you, but he don't have to keep a hold on you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus died and he said, whosoever will, let him come. Thank you, Jesus. And saved with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. Verse 23. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, here is your hope, and I'm just about finished. Here is your hope, people of God. Amen. Those of you that are trying to walk with the Lord, and the enemy continues to pull at you, and you're trying with all your natural might. You're trying with all of your calm might, but you need to surrender unto the Lord, because, amen, it said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling.
Amen.
Jesus is able to keep you from falling. You don't have to fall. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to go back in the world. Jesus is able to keep you from falling, but you've got to surrender to him. As long as you're resisting him, there's no way he can keep you. James says, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I told him Friday night where we do the opposite. We submit unto the devil and resist God. But James says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I told you, there it is, the next clause in verse 24. And to present you faultless. My God, your neighbor keep looking at you, finding all your faults. Your friend and your brothers and sisters sometimes keep looking at you, talking about all your faults. But if you would commit yourself and surrender yourself to the Lord, he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. God can present. Is that the word or not? Is that in your Bible?
Amen. Amen.
Present you faultless. Before his presence, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God, I'm so glad that we serve a God that is able.
Yeah.
Because we're confronted with a whole lot of things in this world today.
That's right, that's right.
We're confronted against a whole lot of things. The child of God, amen, and I'm telling you, people of God, it's getting worse and worse. You're going to have to make a stand for Jesus Christ. Huh? We heard about the shooting the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
And the man asked him, said, do you believe in God? When they said, yeah, they said, well, you go and meet him right now. Huh? What are you going to say? You going to say yes or no? If you're confronted, what are you going to say? Please don't shoot me. Please don't shoot me. He may not pay any attention to that. Glory to God. You might have to plead the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Huh? You might have to call on the name of Jesus. And if you ain't said it in a long time, I don't know. I just don't know.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. But I'm glad that we serve a God that is able to keep you from falling. You think you still have to go to that place. You think you still have to engage in that kind of activity. God is able to keep you from falling. God is able. Why don't you put yourself in the arms of Jesus? Glory to God. Why don't you surrender to him? Amen. The thief come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says he come that you can have life. And you can have it more abundantly. He's able to keep you from falling. But the writer warns us in the book of Hebrews, or rather he encourages us, amen, he says, wherefore seeing that ye are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, my God, he says, let us lay aside every weight. My God, you got to take inventory sometime, and those things that are holding you down, you got to cut them loose. He said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Weight and sin. Some things are not necessarily sin. It's just a weight. It's just holding you down.
Amen.
Glory to God. Sometimes our devotion to someone, our allegiance to someone, maybe what's holding us down. Thank you, Jesus. But he said, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. Glory to God. That thing that upsets you just like that. Paul said, you got to lay it aside. How you going to lay it aside? You got to put it in the hand of the Lord, to the one that is able to keep you from falling. Thank you, Jesus. You got to quit putting it in your hands. You got to quit saying to yourself, I'm going to get them straight this time and I won't have to do it no more. No, you're going to have to do it again because they're just as hard-headed as you are.
Yeah.
Huh? But if you put it, my God, in the hands of God, thank you, Jesus. If you lay it aside and give it to the Lord, thank you, Jesus, he's able to keep you from falling. Paul goes on and says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, by the renewing of your mind. Those are some of the things that I related to you earlier in the message. There's some things you're going to have to quit listening to, some places you're going to have to quit going, some things you're going to have to quit doing to get your mind renewed. Glory to God. They say athletes, you know, especially like the leaders in the team, the quarterbacks and those, the point guards and different people, when their season starts, they carry their plays and stuff around with them. They just carry them with them. Every time they get a spare minute, looking at them, going over them, so they can be prepared. And they get their mind saturated with it. Thank you, Jesus. This is what we got to do with God's word. And we can carry it today because folk got phone now. Get put a Bible on there. Come on, get a Bible app.
Yes.
No, they got some free ones too, because that's what I got. I got a free one.
There you go. There you go.
Now, but get a Bible app on your phone.
Amen.
And some of the time you're playing Candyman or whatever the thing is. You know, sometimes when it's Crush, Candy Crush, when you're playing Candy Crush, sometimes put the crush down and read your Bible.
Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
You got it there with you.
Yes. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
See, we got to learn to use, amen, things to our advantage.
Amen.
2 years ago, you couldn't carry a little big Bible around with you all the time. But if you got your phone, man, you got everything right there. Huh? You sit down waiting on somebody, man, pull it out. Don't play no game this time. Read some scripture.
That's right.
For 15 minutes.
Amen.
You're contending for the faith. You're fighting for the inerrancy and the authority of the Word of God. Listen, because Satan knows God's Word. Now he knows it. But you got to know it too. Hallelujah. And when the Spirit of God is dwelling in you and moving in you, then your authority and your knowledge of the Word supersedes that of Satan. He says, I'm writing that you would earnestly, honestly, sincerely, purposely, intentionally, amen, contend, fight for the Word of God, for the faith, amen, which is the Word of God. His Word is not going to change, beloved. I told you it's already settled in heaven. Already settled. God bless you. I'm irritated you enough where you stand.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Okay.
Thank you.
I love you.
Yes, God.
I want to see you. I want to see you live a successful life in the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You don't need to go week in and week out with Satan knocking you up beside your head.
Amen.
Amen. When you can rebuke him in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
He will come, but you don't have to let him stay. When we submit to the Lord and resist him, the Bible says he flees. He goes away. But when we encourage him, he stays. When we give in to him, he stays. But if we resist him, the word says he flees. Now, when he flees, we take that opportunity to regroup. We don't rest and think, this is it. I got it made. He gone. Man, he ain't bothering me. Oh, he's coming back.
Man.
He's coming back. Amen. Not today, tomorrow. Not tomorrow, the next day. Glory to God. While you're standing today, amen. If there's one.